Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
It is good to be together again by the grace of God as we continue in the book of Job here at Act 2, Scene 8. Act 2, Scene 8 is my designation for Job chapters 22 to 24, as I have outlined this mighty book of the Bible. It is important for you to keep the act and scene designations in mind as coming from me. You will not see these labeled as such in the Bible. So if you prefer, I leave my outline out of this and just tell you what chapters we will be looking at. Today we will be in chapters 23 and 24. That is Job chapters 23 and 24. To get us back into the flow of our discussion, I would like to review some of what was said yesterday, then move forward into chapter 24. A lot happens in 24 hours, and if you are anything like me, constant reminders and refreshers are needed and enjoyed. All of our minds need to hear teaching multiple times before we really get it. The scientists who study our brains have proven that to be true. Last time, in this scene, we looked at Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. My hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me." Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. To be sure, Job is again filled with pride. Job's sin is on display in these statements. But when Job says this in response to Eliphaz, I find this to be similar to experiences I have had with the living God and that I keep on hearing about other Christians having as well. And it is interesting, typically, this is what happens to believers who are the more mature, who have the most intimate relationships with Jesus Christ, and who have been drawn close to God by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the more mature a Christian becomes, the more one can feel like Job. God suddenly seems distant, and we yearn to be in his presence, but we do not know quite where to find him. I see this in verses 3 and 5. Verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." And verse 5, "I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me." Well, if we have felt like Job, then I proposed what God may be up to in our lives in these times of testing when he appears hidden. There is a loss of intimacy, and we miss the Lord. We wonder where we can find God and what he will say to us when we do. This experience is often prominent in the life of suffering Christians. Now, in order to miss God, you have to know God. In order for you to feel that somehow his presence eludes you, means that you have spent precious time in the presence of the living God. When you experience prayers that do not seem to be going anywhere and remain unanswered, that means that you are a man or woman of prayer. You have invested good time before his throne of grace and experienced many answers to what you have spoken with the Father about in the past. So I think this is what happens to the more mature Christians when a time of trial comes and there is a testing of our faith. We miss that which we have had. But if we had not had intimacy with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, if we have not been a person of prayer, a man or woman who has dwelled in the presence of the living God, then we hardly notice that anything is different when trouble comes. But in the case of Job, he was a man who knew God intimately. We have well established that at this point. When Job experienced tragedy in his life and he felt a loss of intimacy with his Heavenly Father, he knew what he was missing. And he wanted that kind of relationship with God back again. So you might ask, yes, I have experienced this also, but why? Why does God seem to withdraw from those of us who are maturing in him? Well, there is mystery here. But my succinct answer, more of a finding through personal experience and in reading the men and women of the Bible, is that it can seem that God pulls back amid suffering so that he can draw us in deeper intimacy towards him. It's like this. We are going to a new level, a deeper level, or if you prefer, a higher level, further up and further in towards the heart of God. God is holding us. God does have us. God is not silent. God is a strong tower that we run into and are safe. But we have to navigate our emotions in these seasons of life. This is part of the maturing process of being Christian. My analogy here is marriage. Over the course of many years, several decades, a lifetime for some of you, there are levels or stages of intimacy that are built between husband and wife. It is my conviction that marriage God honors is only between one husband and one wife. At certain critical junctures, one can feel some sense of loss of intimacy with your spouse. I do not mean sexual intimacy, although that can be part of it. Maybe your spouse is going through something and he or she kind of withdraws from you a bit. He or she is silent, quiet. Your spouse is not responding to you like he or she once did. But as you navigate this challenging period, still loving and caring for one another, what happens is that you actually grow closer. You reach a new level of knowing one another, of sharing life together, and of understanding something more about your husband or wife. Maybe even something more about yourself in relation to him or her. Can you relate to this? Like all analogies, this one breaks down at some point. But capture this. The space, the distance that you felt between you and your beloved served a good purpose. It brought you more closely together. And that is what can happen between God and us. Like in verse 3 when Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." And verse 5, "I would learn of the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me." So too, you feel this way. But as you navigate a challenging period in your relationship with God, still loving and caring for the Lord, as he loves and cares for you, what happens is that you actually grow closer. And I think we must always be willing to do whatever it takes to go through whatever we need to go through, to have deeper or higher intimacy with our God. There is no relationship, including marriage, that is more valuable and more important than our relationship with the God of the universe, right? Do you agree with me on that? Well, in my admittedly feeble mind, that is part of what God is doing as God seems to withdraw from us during the times of testing. Here's what I'm very confident of. As we will see, this is what God did in Job's life. And if God did this in the life of his faithful and righteous servant Job, why cannot God do the same for us? Consider this and give it some thought. I asked you to do that yesterday. Did you? From my perspective, this is very important for us to see in Job chapter 23 and to meditate on. And I also pray this will be helpful to you in your times of struggle when God seems to have gone missing. I believe he is there in you by the power of the Holy Spirit and right beside you, available to you as he always is. And what he is doing is for your good. He's drawing you further into himself, dear Christian. Keep going with God. Go with God all the way. Moving forward now, the second aspect of Job's relationship with God that I want to highlight in this scene, scene 8, is in Job chapter 24, and I have alluded to this on earlier broadcasts and podcasts. We talked about this back in chapter 10, and at that time I told you this was the theme within the book of Job. Why do I suffer when the wicked do not suffer? Here this is again in chapter 24. And it is the focus of the entire chapter. Job starts with this in verse 1 of chapter 24. "Why are times not stored up by the Almighty, and why do those who know him not see his days?" In other words, why are those of us who know God and love God, in our context Christians, why? Note the word why. Why is God allowing suffering in our lives when the evil people seem to be doing just fine? Why is God picking on us? us? Of all people, we know God, we love God, we serve God. And then, beginning in verse 2, Job launches into a very well-spoken monologue on the various forms of sin in people who do not know or love God that seem to go totally unnoticed by God. Again, why do I suffer when the wicked do not suffer? I'll summarize. Job mentions the oppression of orphans, widows, and the poor. Then, sins against the Ten Commandments, murder, thievery, stealing, and adultery. Wouldn't it make sense if God brought suffering or allowed Satan to bring suffering into the lives of the wicked while God preserved the righteous? This is what Job is asking. Have you ever asked that? Oh man, I know I sure have. Well, we will have something to say about this soon. But for today, I just want to draw your attention, your soul even, to Job chapter 24. Please read or reread it and soak in what Job says here. It is a compelling monologue delivered to us in the audience from right up there on center stage, from Job, under the lights. I mention this to you from time to time because this is so true. If you read or have read to you from an audio Bible, the Bible passages we discuss, you'll get so much more out of this. If you are going to invest your valuable time listening to God Is, then why not add a few more minutes in the Word of God so that you can see what I see, and God can speak to you more personally based on what insights you have that I have missed. God speaks, and He speaks through His Word. Are you listening? Please, I would beg you if I could, read Job chapter 24. What an awesome chapter. Job 24. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we will end the week together entering Act 2, Scene 9. So join me then for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.